This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
We're back with hour number two of Ron Segi Today, live all across the USA and around the world on this, the last weekend of September. Can you believe that? That is unbelievable to me. On our show this hour, a gentleman by the name of Vince Wilburn. He is the nephew of the genius of Miles Davis, and there's a new documentary out about his uncle that we're going to be talking about. Miles Davis was a real, real musical genius. There's no doubt about it. From NBC's New Amsterdam, their new season and now going on, and our guests will be Janet Montgomery and Lisa O'Hara. Dan Abrams is here, ABC News chief legal correspondent, talking about a book about the great president, Teddy Roosevelt, and Joe Boyle will be joining us. We'll be discussing cell distractions in the workplace. And that's all coming up this hour with Ron Segi Today. We're going to pause momentarily. My first guest the second hour is Vince Wilburn. Does your car, RV, truck, or boat look faded or perhaps has some minor surface scratches? Painting a vehicle is very expensive and permanent. That's why I recommend SignZoo. SignZoo is the nation's premier vinyl design and wrap company. A 3M vinyl wrap can outlive a painted vehicle by years, and it can be removed at any time without damaging the original finish. Licensed, insured, the best warranty in the business, and over 20 years experience is just a few reasons to choose SignZoo. Whether a wrap to promote your business or change the color of your car, RV, truck, or boat, a vinyl wrap is less expensive and more versatile than paint. And remember, SignZoo services the country nationwide. For your convenience, visit their website today at SignZoo.com. That's SignZoo.com. And get ready for a brand new look.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn-Root. It's time to get in on the 21st century gold rush. I've been a buyer and collector of gold and precious metals for over 20 years, and the reasons to own it are stronger now than ever before in history. The central banks of the world run a record buying spree. Shouldn't you be too? Do you think maybe they know something you don't? Prices are up $200 per ounce in just the last 60 days. In the last gold bull market, it took 4 years for prices to rise $200 per ounce. This is the beginning of an explosive new 21st century gold rush. Analysts see gold prices rising to between $2,000 and $10,000 an ounce. But who you buy it from may be even more important. Swiss America has been America's most trusted name in gold and silver for over 35 years. Swiss America has bought and sold billions of dollars of precious metals for tens of thousands of clients. You need to know how to profit on this next big move. Call Swiss America today and receive a free special report just for my listeners, plus a free 30-minute DVD starring Wayne Allyn-Root. Call 800-BUY-COIN. That's 800-BUY-COIN. 800-289-2646 or visit SwissAmerica.com.
And we are back live all across the USA and around the world with Ron Segi Today. That is the music from the man, Mr. Cool himself. There's no doubt about it. We're talking about the great Miles Davis, horn player, band leader, innovator, and now part of a movie that is out right now called Miles Davis, Birth of Cool. Joining us right now is Miles' nephew and a musician who toured with his uncle for many, many years, Vince Wilburn. Hi, Vince. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Hey.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm doing great, and I'm so glad that this documentary is coming out. It was by award-winning filmmaker Stanley Nelson, and it was a big hit at the Sundance in January of this year, and it's going to be broadcast on PBS in the year 2020. But after a successful release in New York and L.A., more dates are being added for markets that we'll be chatting about. Tell us about this, Vince. This is really a very insight to a man who was very private.
You know, we Stanley Nelson approached us about the director about 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago, and we went back and forth, and then the Miles Ahead was, I met Don Cheadle, and that was Don's directorial debut, and we went with Miles Ahead, but it was not, Don didn't want to do a documentary or a biopic, Cradle to the Grave film. So he did like Herbie Hancock referred to it as if Miles was having a dream. So it's a lot of car chases, and I don't know if you but, you know, things that were fictional.
Right.
But with this documentary, so we came back, Stanley came back to us 3 years ago, and he said, listen, I want to do this documentary, but I don't want to paint Miles as a angel. You know, I want the real Miles, you know, nuts and bolts, as he referred to it.
Warts and all.
So, warts and all. And we signed off on it, and we didn't see a clip. We didn't see any of each other's interviews. He just went in, and he sent us the link the night before Sundance.
Wow.
And I tell you what, when I saw it, I cried like a baby. You know, I think he hit home.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of people have there's stories about what Miles was like, this, that. But if you never knew who Miles Davis was, this would be the film to watch.
But, Vince, were you a little bit concerned of handing over the keys to everything to him without seeing it?
Yes, I didn't know what to expect.
Right, sure, absolutely.
Said, well, you know, when you sign off, you know, he's got told Tommy to do whatever, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
So when the link was, when I looked at it on my computer, he sent the link, it was like 11:30 at night. We had to catch a flight the next day. You got to picture this. I watched it. Stanley lives in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I finished about 2:30, 3 in the morning. I'm crying like a baby. I called Stanley on his home phone. I said, Stanley, man, this is so beautiful, man. I'm just crying. He said, hey, man, I'm asleep. Let me call you back. And I hung up the phone. But later he says he was glad I called. But it moved me so much, I had to call him in the middle of the night.
Sure, sure.
And I know it'll move the fans when they watch it, when they see it.
Now, what you have here is archived photos, home movies shot by Miles and, you know, his friends, manuscripts, his original paintings. You talk to the likes of, on the show, of Carlos Santana, Herbie Hancock, the great Quincy Jones, Ron Carter. But you really, and I give you a lot of credit for doing this, you really didn't leave anything to the imagination. And I didn't realize that Miles, you know, he loved all kinds of music, but he went from classical Indian music to Baroque. Boy, I tell you, you talk about a wide range and everything in between.
That's right. That's right. Name any other musician who played with Charlie Parker and Prince.
Yeah, right, right.
Can we name another?
No, I can't.
You know what I mean?
Case closed. Case closed. Yeah, I never thought of that. You're absolutely right.
Right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, my gosh. You know, here's a couple of compliments from some great magazines that I found really descriptive of this movie. Variety said the film was superbly crafted and a tantalizing portrait, rich, probing, mournful, romantic, triumph, tragic, exhilarating, blisteringly honest. Wow. And Rolling Stone said, and I love this one, essential. That's quite an endorsement, my friend. You know that?
Hey, that's it.
Yeah.
That's Miles.
Yeah. Now, let's talk a little bit about some of the, I guess, rumors and, you know, people, they take one aspect of somebody's life. They've done this with Elvis Presley for the past 40 years. They take one aspect of that life and they dwell on it because that's the one that makes the headlines, okay? Now, here you have a man who was deeply dedicated to music, and he was tremendous. He could do a song with such tenderness, and then he could, you know, hit it hard because he faced a lot of racism throughout his life. But, you know, there's often been this tale of a drug-addicted genius. That is not fair. That is something that goes out on the headlines and doesn't tell about the man.
When you say a drug addicted genius,
well, before,
it's like,
but Stanley Nelson has actually said that. I didn't say that. I'm quoting Stanley.
Yeah, no. I mean, he had a battle about with drugs. I mean, we didn't want to, you know, as the family, we didn't want to sugarcoat or hide anything.
Yeah.
It's public record. It's in his autobiography.
Yeah.
Stanley referred to a lot of this from the autobiography. But the bounce back, what he came back from, what he kicked heroin cold turkey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he changed the course of music 5-6 times. You know, that, you know, it's good and bad. I mean, it has, not to give the film away, but there's abuse to women, you know. I mean, sacrifice for his family, his kids.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't want to give it away, but you got to see it,
yeah.
You know. We didn't want to sugarcoat. We didn't want to hide anything, yeah. You know.
What was it like touring with him? You did that for a long time. Did he treat you like a nephew, or did he treat you like an equal?
No nepotism. I call it Miles Davis University. You know, we had a set list, right? But the songs always took a different shape every night. He never played a ballad the same. Each night on tour. Yeah. I'm talking about 25, 30 concerts.
Wow.
So he was always reaching, experimenting, moving, changing the music, meeting with us after the concerts. You know, he didn't want to stay, he didn't want to be complacent.
Yeah.
Forever evolving. That's what made him, you know, that was his existence.
Being a musician myself, how did you react to those changes?
I had to be ready. Ready. He had a wireless mic.
Yeah.
He said, never take your eyes off me. So I'm looking at him, following his under the cymbal, everywhere he went on stage. You had to be ready for the cutoffs, breaks, everything.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, well, that's the education, right? Frank Sinatra Jr. made the comment about his father, and I had seen this many times. And in later years, you know, he was forgetting lyrics and stuff, but they always said that he never did a song the same twice. And boy, that left a 30-piece orchestra in the dust. And I'm sure that with Miles, it was the same thing because, I mean, the guy was a genius.
Uncle Miles used to listen to Frank for phrasing, yeah.
Really?
I mean, you know, I met Frank Jr. He was a beautiful cat, too.
Yeah. Yeah, lost him too soon. You know what's amazing, though, is I mentioned some of the people that are in the documentary, and, you know, I mentioned some of the people that have been around for a long time. But then you look at the Roots, the Red Hot Chili Peppers that are also in the movie. I mean, that's contemporary stuff, and they are in awe of the man.
Everybody I talked to, I screened it for members of the Rolling Stones. My friend Daryl plays bass with the Stones. Everybody seems to love Miles, and people that didn't know, you know, certain things about Miles were like, wow, we didn't know that, we didn't know this, you know. Charlie Watts loved it. Charlie Watts is a big jazz fan.
Yeah,
you know.
Sure.
So it's amazing to see the love and the admiration we get from all musicians of all different types of music.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Robert Trujillo from Metallica, you know. I mean, it's heavy.
Yeah. And I know that more dates and markets are being rolled out. Where can we get a list of that, Vince?
You're going to go to hashtag MilesDavisMovie.com, and you'll get the entire listings of everywhere that the movie's playing worldwide.
Okay, MilesDavisMovies.com. And you'll get all of the locations that they're going to be rolling out on. I have to be honest with you, I have not seen it yet, but I cannot wait to see it, Vince. I really can't.
I can't wait for you. Please call me back when you see it. Just please. I want to know what you think.
I will do that. And thank you for carrying the torch for the man. I really appreciate that, and all of his fans do, too. You did a heck of a job, my friend.
Thanks for having me, man. Call me anytime.
Okay. Our guest has been Vince Wilburn, Jr., a musician in his own right. He's also the nephew of the great Miles Davis. And the movie was produced by Peabody and Emmy Award-winning filmmaker Stanley Nelson. It's called Miles Davis, Birth of the Cool. Got to see it. And there's more to come with Ron Segi today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-976-1460. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, Do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-976-1460. That's 1-800-976-1460. 1-800-976-1460.
As a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's a decision you shouldn't have to make.
It's a huge burden lifted financially, and so it allows you to give singular focus to your child. I've never known a hospital that takes care of their patients so thoroughly.
That was the first thing I was like, how are we going to do this? When they told us that we didn't have to pay a single bill, I was like, wow. They pretty much have saved us.
It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders, and now your focus is supporting this child.
There is not another hospital like St. Jude. The patient care is unmatchable. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures. Saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
We are live all across the USA and around the world. You're listening to Ron Sedgy Today. Boy, am I happy that this show is coming back for season number two. And the second season premiere is coming up on Tuesdays at 10 o'clock, 9 Central Time on NBC. Joining us right now are two lovely and talented ladies who are part of New Amsterdam. Joining us right now is Janet Montgomery and Lisa O'Hara. Lisa, Janet, welcome to the show.
Very lovely voice.
Well, thank you very much, and you're two very lovely ladies, so we're match made in heaven right now.
Amy, I wish I had a voice like that. It's really...
I wish I did, too. I just borrowed this for the show, then I have to give it back after every show. So hey, the second season coming up. Congratulations on this. This is very, very exciting. And you had a cliffhanger, there's no doubt, last year. So tell us a little about, if you can, just tease us about what Dr. Lauren Bloom is doing and what Georgia Goodwin is doing on this year's season.
Well, it's really difficult for us to do that. Someone very important and integral to the story died. We can't say who, and it could be one of us, so we really can't tell you anything.
Oh, well, there we go. Well, thank you for joining us, and good night. Let's talk a little bit about New Amsterdam, right? I don't know how many people really know this, but this is inspired by, really, the oldest public hospital in America, Bellevue Hospital, and inspired by Dr. Eric Mannheimer's memoirs, 12 Patients, Life and Death at Bellevue Hospital. How did this whole thing come about, ladies?
Well, David Schulner, who is our head writer and show creator, he and Peter Horton, who's our producer, they got together and they wanted to do something together. And then they read Eric Mannheimer's book and then got Eric involved. And I think what's really different about this show is often you can base a show on something, but you don't really get those people involved. But Eric is so involved with this show. And I think that's what keeps it so grounded and so brilliant, is that he comes to set all the time. He is involved in all the writing of the script. And I think that's what really sets us apart from other medical dramas.
You know, I don't know if many people know this, but this Bellevue Hospital that this New Amsterdam is kind of following in its template is a hospital that is probably one of the very few, if not in the world, the only one that can treat Ebola patients, prisoners from Rikers, and President of the United States under one roof. This is a pretty dynamic joint here, isn't it?
Well, it's a huge hospital, to give you some scope, and I think you really learn this, and I think this is why the show's so brilliant. There's a whole school within the hospital. There's a courtroom as well, and most people know it's based around Bellevue, and most people think of the psych unit at Bellevue, right. But actually Bellevue was the first place that had an emergency department. There's so many different departments, but it's like a whole city within itself.
Sure. You know, what's amazing is that the set you must have for this has got to be unbelievable. I mean, to portray all those departments and to make it look like you're in the real place. Do you do it in a hospital, or is this an actual set that you do on a soundstage?
Some of it, yeah. We shoot in a few different hospitals in around the New York and Brooklyn area, and then we also have two different stages where there are sets built, which are really incredible, because we've actually just moved them from upstate New York to Brooklyn, and you can't believe how quickly they just move everything across to a new stage.
Now, you know, you two really bring so much to the table, but you have some similar backgrounds. You're both trained dancers, and you both had a lot of experience on stage.
No, just kidding. I'm only joking. I also did ballet, but I'm not as good as Lisa. But we're actually tap dancing right now. We've taken our tap shoes off, so...
Okay, that's great. Now, Lisa, you have been very prevalent on the stage here in the United States and in England. You are in My Fair Lady, Mary Poppins. You did Last Woman Standing, TNT, and Undercovers on NBC. And I was going to say Dr. Laura Bloom, but I'd rather say Janet Montgomery. The Mad Men, Think Like a Dog on the big screen, The Romanoffs, HBO's Entourage, Downton Abbey. I mean, there's a lot of talent in the show. And, of course, Ryan Eggold, who's a friend of ours, certainly does a magnificent job. What a great cast.
It really is.
How long does it take to do one episode? Because this is a pretty in-depth show. And how do you get the terminology right? I'm always amazed at doctor shows how they get the terminology correct. Because, boy, the script on a show that's medically orientated is got to be a pretty difficult script to comprehend just to be able to get all the words pronounced right.
That is very true, but luckily there's only a small percent of people that actually know whether you're pronouncing it right or not. We get given the correct pronunciation, but one thing that I'm so grateful for, and I hope that the show continues to invest in this, is we have real doctors and nurses on set. And for me, like running the emergency department, I really appreciate having them, and they're a security blanket, and they help me do things in a way that feels more organic and real. And they go, yeah, this is exactly how you do it. You pick this up at the same time, or you wouldn't hold the needle like this or whatever. And it's so important for me because it gives me the freedom when I'm acting to look like I've got some kind of education.
You know what you do. You know that when you've really reached the pinnacle of convincing the general public is when you're at the mall and somebody comes up and says, you know, I have this pain in my elbow. What do you think it is? Then you've really seen it.
And I'll be like, is there a real doctor?
But, you know, here's the thing that I admire about New Amsterdam, and I say this sincerely, too. Television is known for getting on a genre and staying with it. You know, in the 50s was the cowboy movies, then you had the family sitcoms, and then you had the type of dramas like Dallas. And there's a lot of medical shows over the years. There's been a lot of them. And New Amsterdam has brought a new dimension to that kind of a format, which is very, very difficult to do when you think everything's already been done before.
Yeah, I think so. I think the whole way television is now has changed so much. And I think the thing that I really appreciate with this show is gone is the days where nobody really moves forward and a show can go for 6-7 years and their lives don't change and they still wear the same T-shirts or whatever. I think they're really allowing us to let our characters grow. And you really notice that coming back for season two, how much all the characters' lives have been changed by what happened in season one and what that sort of does to your characters. And I think that's great that NBC have really allowed that, and I'm really happy that they're sort of letting the writers do that.
Yeah, give them the wings to fly. I agree with you. Well, we're going to be watching. This premiere is coming up this Wednesday. It's Tuesdays at 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 Central on NBC. It is the second season of New Amsterdam, and it stars our guest, Janet Montgomery as Dr. Lauren Bloom, and Lisa O'Hara as Georgia Goodwin. Lisa, Janet, great guest. Please come back and join us again and break a leg on the second season, okay?
Oh, thank you so much.
See, if you break a leg on a medical show, you can get it fixed for nothing.
That's very true. Very true.
Can't beat that. Thanks, ladies. We'll be watching and look forward to having you back soon, okay?
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Delightful ladies, really, and talented. Janet Montgomery, as we mentioned, plays the role of Dr. Lauren Bloom. Lisa O'Hara, as we mentioned, plays the role of Georgia Goodwin on NBC's hit show, second season, New Amsterdam. And there's more to come with Ron Sedgy today.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$6,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Democrats are moving quickly with the impeachment investigation of President Trump, ordering Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to turn over Ukraine-related documents and scheduling testimony for witnesses to alleged abuse of power. The president was notably silent in front of cameras as the escalating inquiry gained momentum. His campaign, though, has rolled out a multi-million dollar ad targeting Democratic lawmakers and former Vice President Joe Biden.
Joe Biden promised Ukraine $1 billion if they fired the prosecutor investigating his son's company.
Biden's son Hunter joined the board of Ukrainian Natural Gas Company in 2014, but has since left. A former deputy prosecutor in Ukraine told CBS there's no evidence of wrongdoing.
Never, ever.
Did you ever see any evidence of wrongdoing by Joe Biden?
Never, ever.
This is USA Radio News.
At the American Veterinary Medical Association annual convention in Washington, D.C., I spoke with Dr. John Howe, AVMA president, about One Health.
One Health is really a collaboration between physicians and veterinarians or public health officials. For example, in Minnesota, our state public health veterinarian deals with zoonotic diseases, rabies, for example. Animals are sentinels for humans, and humans are sentinels for some infections in animals.
There's more valuable information at AVMA.org.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
This is Dan Perkins from Songs and Stories for Soldiers with your Veterans Tip of the Day. Have you noticed that interest rates on home loans have dropped at least 1% in the last 6 months? Did you miss the opportunity to refi your home mortgage the last time interest rates were heading lower? Here's your Veterans Tip of the Day. Get focused and know the facts of your existing mortgage. So go to the safe or the shoebox, wherever you have important papers, and look through it and find your mortgage. Next, look through it and find out these three things. When did you take out the loan? The year. How much did you borrow? The amount. And what is the interest rate? Percentage. Write this down on a sticky and put it on the fridge and start looking at bankrate.com for mortgage interest rate. If the new rate is 1% or more lower than the rate on the fridge, start looking at a refi. Remember, a refi puts money in your pocket. This has been Dan Perkins with your Veterans Tip of the Day.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Across the USA and around the world, you are listening to Ron Sedgy today. Well, our next guest is certainly no stranger to radio and or television. He's the chief legal affairs correspondent for ABC News, as well as the host of Live PD on the A&E Network and the Dan Abrams Show on Sirius XM. And he has penned a book. This is the second book he has penned about presidents, first one being about Abraham Lincoln, that I have in front of me. When I heard about this book, I had to get him on because being the presidential history buff that I am, this is a fascinating piece of work. Joining us right now is Dan Abrams. Hi, Dan. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Hey. Great to be with you. Thanks.
I love this book. I got to be honest with you. Theodore Roosevelt for the Defense. This is something that could be happening today in politics. You know, we heard so many things this past 100 years about the, you know, great trials of the century. This truly falls in the category, but frankly, a trial that has been lost in history. And I always say, Dan, that unless you know what happened yesterday as a history student, you don't know how to handle today. This is a book about a lawsuit against one of the great presidents, Theodore Roosevelt, a libel lawsuit that lasted 8 days that was against him by a gentleman by the name of William Barnes, who was a big boss in the Republican Party and had a future, he thought, as the governor of New York. So fill us in on the details, because it really is very, very fascinating.
Yeah, it's amazing. And he was on the stand for 8 days. The trial was 6 weeks long. This is in Syracuse, New York. You have Roosevelt having accused Barnes of being corrupt, and in a public letter that he handed out to all the papers, basically telling people that Barnes was in cahoots with the head of the Democratic Party to retain power. And the big fight at the time was over, should U.S. senators be elected directly by voters, or should the state legislatures be electing them? And the party bosses wanted to keep the legislatures, and Roosevelt and others wanted voters to be able to elect them directly. And so he had called Barnes of being corrupt, and Barnes sued him. And this is the courtroom showdown, where you have an attorney who may have been responsible for Barnes filing the lawsuit, Barnes's attorney, cross-examining Roosevelt for days. And what makes this so interesting is, you know, as a history buff, I think you'll appreciate this, is that most of the time when we get to see some of the most iconic presidents, the words, we see them in speeches, we see them in books that the people have written, but we don't get to see cross-examination, where they have to go back and forth with a lawyer about their legacy. And that's what makes this book so compelling.
And, of course, he thrived on that. He was an individual who confronted defeat. I mean, you know, his wife and mother died on the same day. I mean, he had a ton of problems that he went through in his lifetime. So he was a strong guy. But here's the thing that got me about this, okay? In today's environment, can you sue, even in then, at that time, can you sue a libel case against a sitting president?
So the answer is yes. The current president is facing a libel suit as we speak. And that's been moving forward in the courts. The Paula Jones case against Bill Clinton sort of set the standard that a civil lawsuit can move forward against the president of the United States. Roosevelt at this time was the former president.
Right.
But and I think if you want to, you know, sort of bring it back to comparisons to today, Donald Trump is being sued, and he could end up having to testify as the former president of the United States.
But I thought, Dan, that they could actually continue the suit after he got out of office. In other words, if he had a lawsuit today, the president, he wouldn't actually go to trial, if you will, until after he became a private citizen?
No. So that's the difference in criminal and civil.
Okay.
So what the Office of Legal Counsel has determined is that a sitting president can't be indicted as the president. But what the Paula Jones lawsuit concluded was that a sitting president can still be sued. Mm-hmm. So there's a difference. The reasoning being that when you're charged with a crime, that the stakes are so much higher. You've got the Department of Justice involved who effectively reports to the president. You've got the inability, the argument goes, for the president to do his job if he's being indicted. But a civil lawsuit is just over money damages. And so there's the argument is that there's no real comparison there. Although, look, when you read the language of the Paula Jones case, it does, you know, suggest that a sitting president can be forced to deal with the inconvenience of having to testify
yeah.
in you know, and that's what happened with Bill Clinton.
Now, here's the thing that amazed me about this, okay? This Barnes fellow, this William Barnes, he was the publisher of the Albany Evening Journal. He had, along with being a powerful party boss, dreams of running for governor himself, okay? And what, of course, TR was saying is he was saying that I'm not going to endorse a nonpartisan gubernatorial candidate because this two-party system actually creates an invisible government. You know what? He's right.
Well, look, and there are a lot of people who feel that way today, right? Which is, and one of the things that was great about Theodore Roosevelt is the conservative Republicans felt he was too liberal, and the Democrats felt he was too conservative. And I say great in the sense that, you know, this country is filled with people in the middle now. And people who feel like, you know, the Republican Party has gone too far to the right and the Democratic Party has gone too far to the left. And I think that, that's where Roosevelt was.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very disdainful of the extremes of both parties. And he often would compare himself to Lincoln in saying that, you know, if Lincoln had taken the position of the abolitionists from moment one, he wouldn't have gotten done what he was able to get done.
Right.
And probably wouldn't have gotten elected in 1860. So, you know, I do think, and this goes back to your point, I think that there are lessons from history to look back at, which can definitely offer us guidance in moving forward.
You also say, Dan, in the book, and I agree with you 100%, that TR would really thrive in today's media. He was the first president to have a separate press room in the White House. But to complicate this issue that was going on within the, you know, the higher-ups of our government was that these hidden secrets of American political system that affected our image on the world stage must have been enormous.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, the United States' role at the time, I mean, depending on if you're talking about during the presidency or after.
After.
But regardless,
yeah.
You know, the United States played an enormous role. I mean, you know, Roosevelt won the Nobel Peace Prize for negotiating out of the war between the Russians and the Japanese. And then when you're talking about this trial itself, there's real questions about when, if the United States is going to get involved in World War One.
Right, right.
And what was kind of amazing about this trial, by the way, is this happens, you know, one of the most important pre-United States in World War One events was the sinking of the Lusitania, where all these Americans died when a German sub shot, you know, shot the boat out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
And Roosevelt was asked to comment on it. And the concern was that he'd been a big advocate of getting us into World War One. He'd been very critical of the Germans. And there were three German Americans on the jury.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, German Americans typically meant that people associated themselves with Germany. It wasn't just heritage. And so, you know, his lawyers were, you know, sort of hoping he wouldn't comment. But he couldn't. He's Theodore Roosevelt.
Yeah.
And he can't not comment.
Sure.
And so, you know, they viewed that as a real risk in the comments that he made about the Germans during the trial.
Yeah, it's a fascinating book. It really is. And the funny thing about it is that, you know, along with this libel suit, there was also a damages of $50,000, and Teddy Roosevelt incurred more than $50,000 in his defense legal fees, which eventually Roosevelt paid even though he won, and Barnes caved in at the end. He supported TR's offer to run for the governor of New York State. An unusual case, but one that could play out in the media today, Dan.
Well, this is definitely one that played out in the media, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you had every major newspaper in America there. It was headlines around the country. And also, you know, with the sort of same kind of prognosticating. And I will tell you that at the end, the guesses as to which way the jury was going, and, you know, rumors are that this and this and that, were all wrong.
Yeah.
So it makes it a very exciting ending to the book.
Dan, I know you're on a very tight schedule. Please come back and let's talk, because it's a great book for people of all ages. It's a great story, and you did a heck of a job. You really did, my friend.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Look forward to having you back, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Dan Abrams has been our guest. He's the chief legal affairs correspondent for ABC News. He has penned a fascinating book that's out right now in hardcover, Theodore Roosevelt for the Defense. You got to get this. It is absolutely so relevant today. It's amazing that it happened 100 years ago. And there's more to come with Ron Segi today.
as a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's a decision you shouldn't have to make.
It's a huge burden lifted financially, and so it allows you to give singular focus to your child. I've never known a hospital that takes care of their patients so thoroughly.
That was the first thing I was like, how are we going to do this? When they told us that we didn't have to pay a single bill, I was like, wow. They pretty much have saved us.
It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders, and now your focus is supporting this child.
There is not another hospital like St. Jude. The patient care is unmatchable. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at St. Jude.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
World, you are listening to Ron Sedgy today. When I found out that our next guest was going to be on the show and the topic, I was very excited because this is one pet peeve of mine that actually affects all of us, but I notice it in my business and have for the last few years. And we're going to talk about distractions in the workplace as a result of modern technology, cell phones, all the other stuff. Joining us right now, and he is from Truce Software, the CEO, Joe Boyle. Hi, Joe. Welcome to the show.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Joe, there was a survey done that has some unbelievable results of people having distractions in their workplace, not only from a safety reason, but from a productivity reason. Give us a little bit of an oversight on the survey.
Yeah, absolutely. So as a company, we are focused on helping people, both workers and employers, to get the very best out of what mobile computing has to offer, while at the same time really eliminating some of the downside risks that have crept in based on our usage. And so we recognize that to really address the problem, it's got to be a cooperative effort between employees and employers. And so we commissioned a study to really understand the attitudes and behaviors that exist in the workplace so that we could help find alignment and common ground and a path forward for how companies can work with their employees to put device usage policies in place that really really do help to get the very best of and eliminate the downside risks of mobile technology.
Joe, when you put these parameters in place to the people that are working for you, how do you enforce it, especially when you're not there 24/7?
Yeah, it's a great question. So, you know, look, there's a couple of fundamental issues here. One is that you know, most companies recognize that they need policies to deal with mobile devices. They're really only policies alone. There really has never been much of an enforcement mechanism. And so, one of the things that we learned out of the study is that you know, roughly 60% of employees will freely admit that when policy gets in the way of using their mobile device the way they want to, they're just going to ignore the policy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, look, we believe that there's a better way. We believe that, you know, creating policies that are not one size fits all, that are really created in collaboration with workers to, you know, create acceptable and non-acceptable use policies is the first step. But then you've got to have an enforcement mechanism that really brings those policies to life on the mobile device and ensures that people are always in compliance with the device usage policy.
And it's amazing, though. You mentioned that 60% workers do admit disobeying policies. However, part of that survey says 68% are receptive to their companies managing their device usage. So they say, we like it, but they don't follow it, apparently.
Yeah, and so, you know, what's inside of that we hear consistently from people is, you know, look, three-quarters of employees will also admit that they recognize that their device usage is causing them to be non-productive and unsafe. And so what they're really saying is, I'm addicted to this. Science tells us that these devices are addictive. So let's recognize that we're combating addiction. Employees are raising their hand and saying, this is a problem for me. It's a problem for me. I recognize it. I'd like to do something about it, but I'm kind of wrapped into this addiction. And so they're signaling that, look, I really would be good with my company, and I would appreciate my company coming in and really putting some thoughtful, enforceable policies in place to help me to get the best out of the technology and not get sucked into these unproductive and potentially risky behaviors.
Now, let's talk about liability for a moment. Now, when you're in the workplace and you're behind the desk, it's one thing, okay? Now, let's say you have a business that's a delivery business, a mail service, any kind of delivery service, or any kind of service that necessitates a company vehicle. Now, 49% of employees admit to using their mobile devices while driving. Who has the liability if a commercial vehicle gets in an accident and it's the result of somebody reading a text on their cell phone in addition to the individual? Is the company liable too?
So, you know, that's a great question for people to really kind of talk through with their corporate counsel. What I can tell you is that the 49% of people who freely admit it, what the statistics would tell us is that roughly, you know, 40% of the accidents that are happening in commercial vehicles are happening as the result of distracted driving. And so when you break that down, every hour of every day, there are over 100 work-related accidents that are being caused by distracted driving. So it is it's a massive epidemic. That challenge is only growing. The accident rates are continuing to increase. And, you know, look, our customers look at it and say, I have a duty of care, not alone to the person who works for me to try and keep them safe, but I have a duty of care care to the communities that we serve, because when those accidents happen, you know, look, they're not single car accidents. Somebody else in the community is involved.
Yeah. I'm going to go back to my college marketing days, all right? Time management. Was there any part of the study that determined that productivity by the use of these goes down when people are monkeying around on a cell phone?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the other things that people are admitting to is that in any given day, they will use their mobile device for over an hour a day. You know, look, that's, you think about, you know, a 13% reduction in productivity over the workday. That's challenging, but it actually compounds, right? Because there's, you know, look, we're all sort of in the school of thought that says, look, you get the work done the way you need to get the work done. If you want to check out on your device, okay, you know, as long as you get the work done. But the challenge in that is that it feeds this very vicious cycle. When a person doesn't get their work done between 9 and 5, they get it done at 10 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. That is feeding this issue of work-life balance, and when the person is coming to work the next day, they're coming to work exhausted, and it is a continuous downhill cycle, and you see all of that coming out in the research and the feedback that we're hearing from the workforce. You know, technology has absolutely made the workday longer. In a lot of cases, it's because of the distraction that's pulling us away from really being our best selves.
Well, the webinar that you're going to be doing is going to be on Tuesday, correct? Where can we go for more information, and where can we go for the webinar, Joe?
Yeah, so the best place to go is our website. That is trucesoftware.com, T-R-U-C-E, software.com. And on our site, you can download the results of the survey, and you can also register for the webinar that it's all about the tug of war with mobile devices in the workplace.
Great, great information. Thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to having you back again, okay?
Thanks. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure. Joe Boyle has been our guest. What an interesting subject that is, and important one. Distractions in the workplace because of modern technology, like the cell phone. And there's more to come with Ron Sedgy today.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
And I want to share an experience I had. I'm a classic automobile enthusiast, and recently I wanted to change the color of one of my most treasured and rare cars. I got a quote to have it painted and almost fainted. The cost was terrible, and they couldn't guarantee satisfaction. That's when I called SignZoo. I had seen expensive cars like Bentleys, Lamborghinis, Rolls Royces, Cadillacs, Mercedes, vinyl wrapped, and they looked better than paint and more resistant to the elements and a whole lot less expensive. SignZoo explained to me that paint replacement, you can make a green green car red, with finishes that cannot be achieved with paint. Some of these wraps include carbon fiber, camouflage, 3D, and embossed textures. And boat owners, SignZoo wraps more boats than anyone in the country. They're licensed, insured, and professionals service the country nationwide, and their warranty in the industry is the best. Check out their website at SignZoo.com. That's SignZoo.com, and make your car or boat pop with a new look. And that's going to wrap things up with Ron Sedgy today on this last weekend of September. I want to thank you and everybody out there for joining us on the show. And I want to thank my guest, the OJs, Kurt Busch, from the Chicago series, Chicago Med, Fire and PD, Tori DeVito, Joe Minoso, and Patrick John Pfluger. Also want to thank Carrie Ann Inaba from Dancing with the Stars, Vince Wilburn, the nephew of Miles Davis, from New Amsterdam, Janet Montgomery and Lisa O'Hara, Dan Abrams, ABC News Chief Legal Correspondent, and Joe Boyle. Well, we'll look for your company come next week when we're going to do it again live all across the USA and around the world with Ron Sedgy today. Till then, I'm Ron Sedgy, hoping that you have blue skies and green lights.